Chapter 3. Rambeshi and his pirates managed to get the bloody murder to the other bank of the river, but Lila had to fish another oar out of the water when one of them dropped it, and promised to sit still and not joggle the boat when they hit the bank. Everyone fell off their seats. "All right," said Rambeshi, picking himself up, "tie the boat to a good bit of tree or something. I'll take the prisoner ashore." "Are you going to eat her?" asked one of the pirates, "because I'm hungry." "Yes, we had nothing to eat for days," grumbled another. "You promised we'd have a hot meal every evening." "That's enough of that," said Rambeshi. "You're a pack of scurvy dogs. Take the prisoner to the cave and stop complaining." Lila wasn't sure if she could run away just yet. Some of those pirates did look fierce enough to run after her. Though now she looked more closely, she saw their daggers were made of wood wrapped in silver paper, so they wouldn't be able to do her much damage. "I hope you don't mind this little transaction," Rambeshi said, as they walked along a jungle trail. "It's purely business." "Have you kidnapped me then?" asked Lila. "I'm afraid so. You're going to hand over all your money in a minute, and then we'll tie you up and hold you to ransom." "Have you done it for?" "Oh yes, lots of times." "What happens when you don't get any money?" "Well, we eat you," said the hungry pirate. "Shh," said Rambeshi, waving his hand vaguely. "You're not cannibals," said Lila. "We're blooming hungry," said the pirate. "Have you always been pirates?" "No," said Rambeshi. "I used to keep hens, but they all died melancholy. So I sold the business and bought the boat." "Oh no, shh, stop, don't move." Last pirate in line, still grumbling, bumped into the front, who stood behind Rambeshi, transfixed in fear. For there, on the path ahead of them, was a tiger. It swung its tail lazily from side to side and raised its golden eyes at them. And then it opened its mouth and roared so loudly that Lila thought the very earth was shaking. One of the smallest pirates put his hand in hers. So they stood, and the tiger was just gathering its strength to spring when Lila suddenly remembered herself igniting crackle dragons. She took her hand back from the small pirate, reached into her bag and took out three she brought with her. "Mine," she said to Rambeshi, and pulling the string of the first one, she threw the firework in front of the tiger. The mighty beast had never been so surprised in his life. First one, then another, and yet another crackle dragon snapped and flashed and sparked and leapt at him. And that was too much. With a whimper, the tiger turned and fled. The pirates cheered. "Magnificent," cried Rambeshi. "Congratulations." "I was about to stab him to death, of course, but never mind." Lila wondered how he would have done that with a silver paper-covered knife. She didn't say anything, of course. "And of course," Rambeshi went on, "this changes everything. We can't keep you hostage if you've just saved our lives. You'll have to be our guest instead. Stay with us overnight, why don't you?" "We've got no food," said someone. "What's she going to eat? "We'll send Chang out to catch some fish," said Rambeshi cheerfully, shaking his head at the protests that arose. "No, no, fish is good for you. Go on, Chang, don't just stand there." "I can't," said Chang. "Look." They looked back at the riverbank. The bloody murder was drifting away, with the painter drifting in the water. "Who tied it up?" said Rambeshi. One of the pirates looked down and tried to rub a hole in the ground with his big toe. Said Rambashi, fine pirates you are. I hope you're ashamed, but never mind, I got a better idea, miss, he said to Lila, rubbing his hands. There was a bright gleam in his eye. Can I interest you in a little investment? Well, said Lila, I ought to be going on. No, really, a much better idea than piracy, Rambashi said. It came to me in a flash, just as I saw the boat floating away. I can't cross with those fellows like children, really. Yes, all my best ideas come in a flash, and this one's a corker. Can't fail. Is there any food in it? Said the pirate sorely. My dear boy, it's built on food. Just wait till you hear I say, miss. Just a little money, the safest investment you'll ever make. But Lila had walked away. As she went along the path, she could hear his voice behind her. Now listen, boys, I know where we went wrong last time. I saw it in a flash. But this is an idea that'll suit your talents down to the ground. Look, let me draw the picture. Lila would have liked to know what Rambashi's next plan was, but she was eager to hurry to Mount Merpie. Hurry on. Mount Merpie was smoking and rumbling in the distance. She felt her heart lift when she saw it again. So powerful and dominating. And she thought, I belong to that mountain and it belongs to me. And on she went. With no other thoughts in her mind but that an excitement putting a spring in her step. Meanwhile, Churiac was getting ready to smuggle Hamlet out of his new home. The master had gone to bed early, groaning, but the slaves were still awake and Churiac had to distract them. Now listen, he said to them in the kitchen. You know, you've got to do is please the great white elephant, or else the king will be cross. They all nodded. Well, the elephant's a bit restless, and he never sleeps well the first night at a new place, so we'll have to play a game of elephant's footsteps to cheer him up. You have to go and hide with your eyes closed in the garden. When you think you can hear him come and turn around, he likes playing that. Go on. Go and wait in the garden, I'll tell you when. Tell him when you're ready. The slaves all streamed out of the back door as soon as they were hiding in the garden. With their eyes shut, Churiac unlocked the front door and led Hamlet out the gate. Good thing they put down that carpet I ordered, he whispered. You don't make half a row on the gravel. Can we go past the zoo? Hamlet whispered. No, of course not. Never mind, Friendly Penny. It's Lila we've got to think about and stop breathing so heavily. They tiptoed out of the gate and found Laltrand waiting there with a tarpaulin, just as Tulis asked. What's it for? Laltrand whispered. For this, said Churiac, and made Hamlet kneel down and have it laid over his back so he doesn't show up so much in the dark. Huh? Grumbled Hamlet. It's hot and scratchy and it smells like marquee. Couldn't you find a nice blanket? I don't think you realise your own size, Churiac said. Do be careful, said Laltrand. I ought to come with you. It's not a safe journey at all. Oh, I should have told Lila everything from the start. I should have trusted her. What a foolish old man I am. Yes, said Churiac. Still, never mind. We'll find her. Come on, Hamlet. And they set off. Laltrand stood watching them for a minute until they disappeared into the dark streets. But someone was watching Laltrand. One of the snakes who come to play elephant's footsteps was hiding in a bush nearby. As soon as he realised what he'd seen, he began to tremble. Helping the white elephant to escape was a terrible crime. There'd be a terrible punishment, and there'd be a great reward for the person who pointed out the criminal. So when Lao Chen began to trudge homewards, the slave silently followed him to find out who he was and where he lived. Shulak and